The girl may have been the end for him. The end's beginning, like the bend of a road too slight to notice where it leads. She could have happened to him a day later or a day before, but she was there on that day, in that moment, just hours after Circus Palmer turned 40. A predictable time for a certain kind of end to come, and just seconds after Maggie slid her hand from his wrist, and with her lips parted just enough to slip his finger through, if he'd wanted, whispered, "I have something to tell you." Outstretched on a chaise long beside the hotel pool, Circus watched from a distance as the girl, in her mid-twenties, he figured, did cartwheels alone on the beach, her linen skirt falling open to bare the smooth plane of her hips, and the slide of her calves sloping up to her toes. She lured his eyes away from Maggie, who was lying in another chaise long beside him. All afternoon, Maggie had been acting strangely, staring at nothing and losing the thread of conversations. This wasn't Maggie. Circus figured whatever it was she had to say wasn't anything he wanted to hear. So he let his attention be taken by the girl doing flips back and forth across the sand. When she landed on her feet, her hair lashed across her back like a whip, her shoulders lifted and hands spread beneath the melon sunset as if she carried it on her fingertips. Hips, calves, toes, shoulders, hands. She circled in the air again. "I wasn't going to say anything," Maggie hummed, the sound not fully making its way to him, not quite breaking through his focus. "But I thought you should know." If she were any other woman, he would have told her to come to the point. But this was Maggie, so he waited, a sense of dread needling in his gut, chewing at the inside of his cheek. Always his mouth needed something to do. He concentrated on the melody the girl made inside his head as he tapped a nervous rhythm on his knee. "Listen to what I'm telling you." The push in Maggie's voice, major keyed and salty, brought Circus back to the cabana, back to the wild turkey warm in his glass, and Maggie beside him. Her lips were pursed as she stroked her long neck and watched the night begin to fall, possibly without noticing the girl, possibly trying not to. 6 days earlier, after not seeing each other for weeks, they'd arrived in Miami and hastily made their way to the hotel in order to get into a bed together. They'd paid extra for a room with a round marble bathtub where they could spend mornings sipping champagne before heading out to the city to visit Little Havana markets and smoke cigars. On the night Circus played in the horn section of his friend's band, the reason they'd made the trip, Maggie went into the city on her own, dancing in salsa bars and kicking drummers off their kits so she could play. And when he wasn't gigging, they found hole-in-the-wall clubs where they could jam on stage with the band. Other players would recognize Maggie on occasion, asking what it was like to drum behind jazz greats and rock stars, and she'd tell stories about filled stadiums and rowdy tour buses, letting them craft fantasies around her. Usually, Circus liked being the storyteller in a room, but watching Maggie hold court gave him a charge. That morning, she'd sung happy birthday to him, playing a ukulele while wearing her bikini bottoms and a birthday hat. He'd laughed and lusted and wished they'd never have to leave the room. But now this. He'd come to Miami to draw a clean line between his first 40 years and his next, and he'd invited Maggie because she was the only female in his life who knew how to be easy. He didn't love traveling with women. A woman in the room meant ending the night back at the hotel where she was waiting. "Sorry, baby," he stroked her knee. "I'm listening."